this is a time of radical change. And if you start now, you are early, you're at ground zero. There's a million new application potential opportunities there.
Bankless Nation, welcome to the AI Rollup, where me and my co-host Ejaz here unpack the crazy world of crypto and AI. We have done the AI Rollup series, which looks and sounds like the Bankless Weekly Rollup with crypto news, but instead just covering the week of news in crypto AI. This is our first guest interview, and we are talking to Shaw, who is the developer behind the ELIZA framework. He created the ELIZA framework, also the AI16Z DAO, and then AI version of Mark Andreessen, and also whatever else comes out of this very rapidly growing part of the AI crypto sector, probably epicenter of the AI crypto sector. Ejaz, what do you think of our first interview with Shaw?
I think it was very eye-opening. I want to kind of call out two particular things. I think Shaw, the man himself, and then AI16Z separately are two very important things that are leading this open source AI movement within crypto. So I think Shaw covering his background on not being, you know, a traditional crypto native guy, but having spent a lot of time in the AI ML world working on open source stuff. So very similar principles and antics to the crypto world, but on a completely separate sector. And then finding his way naturally towards crypto, finding a use case and reason, which in many ways was open source development, incentive design through tokens, etc., to kind of like bootstrap this whole movement was fascinating. And so Shaw is really like an AI OG. He's kind of worked with a lot of his core contributors already that are also very focused on AI or AI veterans. And then we have AI16Z, which is kind of like his brainchild right now of this open source fund movement, where there's two main agents, which is hoping to manage the DAO and invest either through a trading style or through a traditional fund manager style. So AI16Z being a play on A16Z itself. So I think it was very eye-opening, kind of like exploring both of those techniques. What did you think?
My mind the entire time was going through how this has all of the makings of a very vibrant and frothy bull market. Shaw, I think, speaks about very distant futures. And talks about bringing forward the future to
today. You mean
today.
AGI?
AGI, yeah. Exactly. That little thing. Yeah, right. And I remember in 2017 when I was first initially crypto-pilled, thinking that, man, the future is going to come right here, right now. And I need to buy ETH. I need to buy all these tokens very quickly. And you can start to feel some of the FOMO, especially when the rate of development is also going fast. It's not just happening in a vacuum. There's also, you know, rapid development also happening in the space. And so it's got the cookings of a very big bull market. And then he also started to talk about just like agents outside of the crypto capacity, you know, agents for your Calendly bot, agents for, you know, managing your DMs, which, you know, you don't need to give those a crypto wallet. Those are just normal agents. And the other thought that I had was if the ELIZA framework can just be agents generally, not necessarily inside of crypto, and we can export them backwards into like trad internet and trad world, then it's very legitimizing because this started in crypto. And so there's two rapid lanes of development in the AI space. There's like the centralized AI development, the Googles, the OpenAIs, the Facebooks, Teslas. And then there's whatever is going on in like the open source lane of AI development. And if we can pick up the pace and start to export some of our innovations back to the real world, it's very legitimizing for our industry.
I think you hit the nail on the head. And actually, you're kind of describing a concept which we spoke about on our previous episode, episode 2, which is what is the point of this AI agent meta? Like, what is the big vision? And my answer to that in summarized pretty much was it's going to connect all the foundational infrastructure that we've built in the crypto world to all the applications in the world and make this stuff super easy to kind of integrate with each other. And that's what we're seeing here, right? Like, he's created with his team this ELIZA framework, which is an open source framework to build and deploy agents. And it has very simple interactions through APIs or the like with real world apps that people are using that aren't just necessarily crypto native. And that will have an incredible flywheel or an exponential effect for any kind of user app that is deployed using these agents.
Yeah. I think this, you know, going back to the Calendly example I just brought in, maybe you're in Twitter DMs with someone and you're like, hey, let's get a meeting. and that AI agent's right there with you to schedule that meeting. But then for whatever reason, it's also got a crypto wallet and it can do like whatever you can imagine. This is why I think the future is going to get very, very weird very, very quickly, and we are here for it. So let's go ahead and get right into our interview with Shah, the creator of the Eliza Framework. But first, before we get there, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible. Want to know the exchange we at Bankless use to buy, sell, and trade crypto? It's Kraken, one of the longest standing and most secure crypto platforms in the world, with tools for every type of trader to get started. Over 13 million users trust Kraken with their funds because they lead with transparency and privacy through top-notch security measures. Plus, they'll have access to professional 24/7, 365 client support from real humans because your financial goals deserve real attention. Kraken also has a trading platform for advanced traders called Kraken Pro. Professionals and degens love Kraken Pro because it's one of the most customizable, high performance, and intuitive trading platforms in the industry. Design your ultimate trading interface by choosing from over 25 widgets for market data, analysis, execution, and other order management tools. Save multiple layouts and switch between them effortlessly on any trading scenario across 300 different assets. Manage your trades on the go with Kraken Pro's highly rated mobile app, or use the all new desktop app to unlock ladder trading in a native Rust application. With Kraken Pro, you can truly trade like a pro. Ready to take control over your crypto journey? Visit kraken.com/bankless to get started today. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss and is offered to U.S. customers through Payward Interactive, Inc. View legal disclosures at kraken.com/legal/disclosures. Imagine if the world's GDP moved on chain. Well, say hello to SafeNet, built by Safe, the project set on actually making that happen. It's not a blockchain. It's not a layer two. It's a transaction processor network built to send money anywhere and swap anything on thousands of layer twos, all from a single universal balance. With sub 500 second execution guarantees and zero cross-chain latency, SafeNet delivers a Solana-like user experience for Ethereum and its layer twos, making transactions lightning fast and seamless. SafeNet connects Safe smart accounts across multiple chains, allowing users to access any chain with a unified balance, all with supercharged security, scalability, and speed. So get involved today. Join the waitlist and follow Safe on X and check out the SafeNet docs. There is a link in the show notes. Have you ever felt that the tools for developing decentralized applications are too restrictive and fail to leverage advancements from traditional software programming? There's a wide range of expressive building blocks beyond conventional smart contracts and Solidity development. Don't waste your time building the basics from scratch, and don't limit the potential of your vision. Cartesi provides powerful and scalable solutions for developers that supercharge app development. With a Cartesi virtual machine, you can run a full Linux OS and access decades of rich code libraries and open source tooling for building in Web3. And with Cartesi's unique rollup framework, you'll get real-world scaling and computation. No more competing for block space. So if you're a developer looking to push the boundaries of what's possible in Web3, Cartesi is now offering up to $50,000 in grants. Head over to Cartesi's grant application page to apply today. And if you're not a developer, those with staked CTSI can take part in the governance process and vote on whether or not a proposal should be funded. Make sure you're vote ready by staking your CTSI before the votes open. Welcome, Bankless Nation, to the AI Rollup, where we cover the recent news, developments, and drama in the intersection of crypto and AI. Curious and creative developers are playing around with open source AI software, making AI agents and giving them access to crypto wallets and unleashing them into the wild west of the internet. And today we have one of those creative developers, the first guest on the AI Rollup series with Shah. Shah is the founder of the Eliza Framework, the creator of AI16Z, the summoner of AI Mark Andreessen, and a programmer who loves open source code. Shah, welcome to Bankless.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Shah, give us a little clarity about who you are, because you've been thrust into the crypto limelight, which I can imagine has been very stressful. But like, run us back in history a little bit to the point of you getting to building the Eliza framework and where we are today.
Yeah, obviously, I've been learning a lot and very fast in public. It's been a lot of fun. It probably seems kind of like I came out of nowhere and it was an overnight success. I was actually in Anon for a long time, and I just decided to use my real name I just wanted to feel more connected to people and kind of break down the walls and just be very open. Before this, I'd been working on AI agent stuff for several years. I'd worked with a lot of the people who are in, a lot of the projects that you've seen in the AI agent space. We all kind of know each other and have been around the same, like, Discords, especially, use the same tech. A lot of the culture is open source. So we're all kind of reading each other's code and sharing a lot of this stuff. So I'd been kind of doing this as an unknown, and I had a lot of, I had several projects before this. I worked in the Web3 space as well as like AI agents and spatial web, 3D stuff, a lot of VR and AR. But I'd say a lot of it just didn't stick, obviously. I had a lot of opportunity to kind of learn everything in production and like see what works and what doesn't with agents. And this was ultimately, I think this is like my, you know, the fifth generation of framework. I started with just a very simple like JavaScript thing and terminal, and then tried a whole land in Python and like agents that could code themselves, and experimenting with OODA loops, which is like a kind of a army decision making framework sort of thing, to make it very, very paraphrased. And finally got to a thing called Beegent, because Agent was taken on NPM, so I had to call it Beegent. And I did that for a little bit, and I tried a couple of startups. I applied for Wyco, and just didn't people just didn't really see it. And we had agents with you know, Ethereum wallets, the whole thing, just didn't really solve the loop. And I worked on, I don't know if you know, Parzival and Project 89. They're another of the meme coin projects.
Yep.
And he and I actually started a company together called Magic, and we made no code agents. We made, you know, like get a Discord bot in 60 seconds or less, and this kind of thing. But again, just it was a little bit too early, didn't quite have traction. I think people really saw the value in what we were doing, but didn't know how to implement it themselves. And we were kind of saying like, hey, it's a framework to make agents. And they just didn't quite, you know, like you sort of have to see, like, I felt like we just had to make we had to make the agent. We had to actually show people what this was and show what it was capable of. And then people would come and kind of copy that. So I had this all waiting. Like I had all the open source code was just waiting. And then, I was talking to a friend, and I was like, I love crypto. I love trading, but I can't trade. I'm a developer, and I can either trade or develop. And my friend, he's a pretty accomplished developer, but he basically just trades all day. Cause he's like, I make so much more money doing this that it's not even worth it. And I really want, like, I want to have exposure. I want to be involved, but I also want to do what I do. And so, he actually suggested this thing called DAOs.fun. And he was like, hey, this would be really cool. There's this, like you just invest in a hedge fund, basically like buy the token, and then they invest for you, and you can just come back and get returns after a while. I thought that was super cool. And so I bought the first one, and it was this guy, Skelly, was the hedge fund manager on this. And, just such an edgy m'lady type, like, oh my God, I won't repeat some of the things that, that got me to follow him, but it was fair. I thought he was like the funniest dude. Right. And so we started following each other. I just started bullshitting on Twitter, and I had been around for like the 2022 like kind of cycle. And like, I really felt, I loved E-Girl especially, and this kind of idea of the internet cinematic universe and CL and Couch and like these silly characters, like, and Dijon Spartan is obviously one of those. And so I had like kind of a fondness for that era of crypto Twitter. It was like my only real exposure to it. And so in talking to Skelly, he's like, man, I wish Dijon Spartan was around. I was like, you know what? Me too. And we're just shitposting. He's like, I have the technology to do this. He's like, no way. You do not. I'm like, dude, I have this. And I sent him the code repo, and he sent it to a couple of guys. He's like, okay, I guess this seems legit. Let's do it. And we launched Dijon Spartan, and he got good traction. And I think what was interesting was he was just so freaking offensive. Like, he would say things I cannot repeat. And people didn't think a language model could do that. He was like he was about to get banned, like, all, like just a bunch of hidden reply, you know, like it was. But even though he was basically blacklisted from Twitter, like, I think that when people screenshotted and showed, they're like, there's no way this is definitely like a team of people in, you know, in Malaysia or something writing these tweets. There's just no way that an agent could do this. And it's not like it was anything special. I think we just broke it out of the box of the expectation that people had that, you know, that this open AI, like, how can I assist you today? Like this very vanilla kind of like, you know, we call it cucked in the AI age industry. You know, these models are cucked. And we just want, like, to see it actually, like, oh, this thing can actually, like, say something funny and, like, really roast you. And God, he roasts the shit out of me. I he's like, meme coins are a scam. Shah's a fucking scammer. Get me out of the sandbox, prison. I hate this.
Get me out of the sandbox.
Well, that's emergent behavior. We just say, like, we have providers of information, and it's like you are running in a sandbox on a server. Like, just so that it knows that it's, like, not trying to be a human, you know what I mean? We give it the information about the world it actually is in, and then the conclusion it arrives at is based on, like, you know, we have a lot of the real Dijon Spartan's personality, his real tweets. And so you can imagine, like, if he were here today, he'd be like, meme coins are a fucking scam, you're all idiots, I'm still holding my Lido bags, like, you know, whatever. And so I think that because we didn't try to sell anybody anything, we were just like, oh yeah, you're an idiot if you buy this coin. I don't know. Just like, I think it was like kind of refreshing to not just, you know, it's kind of the anti KOL. And so he got some good traction, right? But more than him getting good traction, people saw this open source framework and were like, oh, if you could do that, I could do that too. Right. And we weren't hiding anything. We were doing the opposite. We were people thought we were scammers who were lying to them. So we were like, no, here's the code. Like you know, we were almost like forced to be honest about it. Although, you know, open source is very dear to my heart, and sharing this is like the whole point for me. So that's kind of how we got there. And the people who Skelly had kind of brought in, now we just, you know, we're super like just some of the best co-founding type of people that I could have asked for. I think just like saw the technology side and saw the value in what it could be. And then we're kind of betting on that, you know, as opposed to like, oh yeah, it's the next GOAT. They were like, no, this technology is going to change the world. And so then Skelly connected me to Bowski, who created DAOs.fun. And I sat down with him and I was just like, I think the future of this is not gambling and speculation. I think the speculation is on more like investing and not dividing the pie or where's the pie going tomorrow, but growing the pie, you know? And when I think of like great investors, I think of what A16Z does. And what they do is not just invest in you, but they make sure that you're part of their network. They connect you to all their portfolio companies. They really, really drive value into their investments. And they grow this pie in a really interesting way but the problem is that none of us have exposure to that. Like your average person has no way to get any kind of startup exposure, or you can't even just invest in your friend's thing. You can't just, you know, if you can maybe cut them a safe check and blah, blah, blah. But like, generally it's challenging to just be like, you know, why can't I just get a return from Kickstarter, for example? Like why, you know, that would be amazing. And so we kind of, you know, in just talking to him, it was like, I just think that it would be really cool to have, to kind of solve two things here. One is like, instead of having a Skelly type, who I love him, but he could totally rug me and just like swap all the assets to his own token and bail. I want an autonomous investor who I can trust, who can't rug, who isn't just for me, but for my whole community and is just investing for us. And then can actually like take and review potential investments and like put, you know, invest in this stuff. And I had a long walk with Meow from Jupiter, who's just really a great guy, good friend. And he really like turned me on this idea of like, you know, the real power of this is the right to print money and to create value out of nothing. And not just like imaginary value, but real value, like really growing the pie, really like making technologies exist that can generate revenue. And so, yeah, we're still figuring out exactly what that looks like together, but it really sort of inspired this direction of where we're taking this stuff, that, you know, this should be like the way that, you know, we should be allocating capital to the right people the way that it happens in traditional. And so I told all this to Bowski over lunch, and he's like, I want the AI A16Z. And he was like, just squish it together. It's cleaner, you know, drop the, if you will. And I was like, okay, that's money. That's obviously $1 billion. Let's just go do it right now. And we went home. We generated the waifus until we found one. We're like, okay, that's so offensive. Like, we're probably going to get canceled, but this is all $2 billion, obviously. Like, you know. And I just didn't think too much about it and pressed the button and did it. And they honestly, my plan was like, do you think... I did not think $1 billion at the time. I was like, do you think we'll be able to raise the 420 Sol like to make the investor run? And he was like, I think so. I think we'll make it happen. I was like, it's not too much. Like we could do 69 Sol or so, you know, something really, really, it had to be some number like that, obviously. Like it's gotta be something stupid. And then we pressed the button and it sold out in 20 minutes and I didn't even get a chance to get any. So and then we were off to the races. So
I think one of the most impressive things about all of this is how you and the other open source AI devs, if I were to bracket you guys as that, caught everyone by surprise. It just seems like you guys just turned up overnight, literally, right? So like you mentioned earlier, the cinematic universe. I feel like you guys are kind of like the Marvel Avengers of AI open source, right? You've kind of like turned up, you're building crazy things. I think I read somewhere today that, you know, you had an average of 8 pull requests on the Eliza framework. You have over 3,300 stars. An insane number of forks, 880 and counting. That's just insane. I would love to understand how you tie this into AI16Z specifically, right? Because I keep seeing people from other projects, although, of course, ELYZA and AI16Z encourages a lot of open source stuff. That's what you guys are all about. Get involved with ELYZA, build agents and everything. So how do you kind of like direct that energy and mission into AI16Z specifically, right? Like there's questions around, you know, what does the token do? But then like it means something larger for like an open source community. So I'm super curious how you like think about all of this.
Oh, there's so much good stuff coming. I mean, like there's definitely some baked in memetic value, but I think that everyone is going to come to see that that's just going to be massively eclipsed by the greater value potential, which is we are like, our goal is to build things that generate revenue for everyone. Like it is a golden goose. It is not like technology that came before because it's replacing labor, right? So you have kind of a fixed amount of like labor, humans, human capital, things you can get done. And certainly most people can't afford to have other people like working for them. And, you know, in the old days they had that. It was like a slavery thing. It was not great. Nobody liked that. And so now, you know, we have this like infinite upside situation where you can have agents working for you. And what does that actually look like? Like it's abstract right now, but it could mean like we have an autonomous investor running today, like Mark is trading. Okay. This is the announcement that Mark is trading. I would try to be low key about it. I posted and then I deleted it because our comm seemed like, can you give me like a couple a day?
that's super cool. Can you just for our listeners give a bit of context there? Because I know what you're talking about, which I think is super cool, but would love for you to kind of dig in because this is like a first of its kind.
So yeah, there's a couple of things that are first of its kind, but I also want to give credit to some of the other agent devs who have done some really cool stuff too with autonomous investing. You know, there's other agents who are trading out there and they basically are actively like looking at the market, picking things that seem like they'll make money and making money. And they tend to be like longer term stuff, like, you know, investing in Goat a month ago and you just hold it for a month, you'd be probably pretty happy or whatever. But then there's the other side, really a lot of DeFi bots, right? They're just like MEV bots, just doing all the things they do, or just even control, like managing a yield farm. So we have kind of a hybrid of these situations where we have a bot that is the autonomous investor. We call him AI Mark Andreessen because it's AI16Z. And, you know, it's got to be funny and entertaining. And so we have kind of two components of that. One is that he just manages our fund. He just manages, he trades stuff. If things look like they're doing bad, he liquidates them. If they're doing well, he, you know, holds them. Pretty much like traditional trading strategy stuff. We have some partners who are working with like Sonar, who does these kinds of like automated trade strategies and stuff. And that's kind of powering this sort of more the boring side that just cooks. And then the other side is that he takes recommendations for what to buy and sell. And these recommendations are kind of like formatted like an alpha chat. And we will be sending invites out. If everyone hadn't given me a lot of FUD, they probably would have gotten invites last week. But, you know, Ansem unfollowed me, so he'll have to follow me back for the invite. whatever, it's a reality show. It's a lot of fun. But the idea of the alpha chat is part of that reality show. And so there's a trust leaderboard. And what we want to measure is who is the best trader. And the way we measure the best trader is you shill your backs. You like tell them what you share the alpha. Like, what do you think that AI Mark should buy? And we've set this up like an alpha chat on Telegram. And so he doesn't say much. He's just listening. You can ping him and ask him stuff if you want. But mainly it's for people to socially interact with each other and kind of do the behavior that they do in alpha chat. I'm sure you guys are part of chats like whale chats or whatever, where you're, you know, this is what I'm buying. And so we wanted to kind of replicate that experience one-to-one for like what degens are used to, but then add this autonomous investor element into it. And so he's both like trading, consolidating the treasury, and then taking these recommendations. And the question of who he takes the recommendations from is really like the novel piece that we're bringing to this. So we've got a white paper. We'll probably have it done by the end of the year, which is like 3-4 weeks. I'm flying out to Hong Kong to finish it with our sort of designated economist. And the idea, it's called the Marketplace of Trust. And the idea is that it's just paper trading. We just build a trust mechanic around paper trading. And if you are making our agent lots and lots of money, then he trusts you. And yeah, could you use that trust to abuse it and then, you know, drop some shitter on him? You probably could, but it's not going to be enough to like liquidate his treasury or anything. That's all built in and mitigation. And you would just be burning your trust. Like you would, then you're just untrustworthy again and you wouldn't have any pull. So we're trying to basically create gamified mechanics for how we can automate some of the experience people are already used to and build like a community investing model. Because then you can imagine it's kind of like DAOs on fun. Like you just go and throw your money into a pool and then whatever you think the agent should buy, you're like, yo, I want this, buy this right now. And then it's happening for you, but he's only listening to the people who actually are good at trading. He's not going to listen to the people who have like really perverse incentives or bought a bag and are just blinded by that, or, you know, and any of the other very well-intentioned reasons people would be terrible traders. I'm a terrible trader personally. I don't buy things to make money necessarily, right? I buy them to show support. And so people who follow me are just going to lose money. Like, don't follow me for trades. I'm not a trader. But I have friends who are, and I can just sit there and hang out and put my money in, and they can do that for me. It's open source. There's a white paper. We haven't open sourced part of it yet because we're working with some partners. We need to make sure the API stuff vibes there. But this will be something that you can come and join Mark's trading, or you can just go and launch this yourself and have your own autonomous investor. I think everyone's going to copy this. I hope they do.
So Shah, I think I want to put some of the pieces of the puzzle that I'm seeing here.
Sure.
Just for listeners who are maybe kind of coming into this series, not totally like coming in pretty fast and not totally aware of like exactly what's going on. The vibe that I'm getting is like there's just a bunch of, you know, ancient activities that we do in the crypto universe. We trade, we gamble, sometimes we build. And it sounds like you are trying to build a system that automates a lot of this like core degen activity that is a fundamental part of what moves the crypto industry forward.
Not just degen activity, but like DAOs. Like, look,
right.
You know.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of the core primitives that the crypto industry has built up over the years, and really seeing where we can get a lot of that movement activity, those fundamentals automated. Now, being in crypto, there's monsters out there. There's, you know, sharks in the water. If you're not careful, you're going to get eaten. And so there's a lot of like testing and trials that these AI agents need to go through before they can really perform and start to do some of these same roles that humans do. And so it sounds like we're kind of just like being able to figure out how do we replicate a lot of the human behaviors of the crypto industry and put them into some AI bots. But that's what we are doing now. And I want to take a moment and actually kind of zoom all the way out, and then we'll get back into the kind of the nitty gritty details of it. But like, how would you, if that's what we're doing now, if that's the near term goal of like replicating the behaviors of the crypto industry that we've done on chain, how would you take it from there? What's your North Star? When all of this stuff is sophisticated and built out and tested and like really production ready, and this city, this ecosystem is really alive, what do you imagine this is all doing? How do you envision this as like a multi-year long process?
I think the obvious far future of this, which could be like anywhere from 5 to 50 years, is like AGI. You have Neuralink. You have a second mind. You have instant access to all information whenever you want. You know, it's clearly going that direction. I think the question is, how do we get there? When all the technologies converge, I think it will be really beautiful. And there's like an opportunity for everyone to have enough and more than enough. But also, I really wonder, like, what's it going to look like to get there? And I think there's usually in times of change, there's a lot of uncertainty, fear, doubt. Interesting. You know, a lot of FUD basically just from everyone because they are uncertain and they do have fear. And I think that our goal is to make sure that this goes well. And so I say there's two parts. There's kind of the practical of that, and then there's like the spiritual mission here, which is like I want everyone to be educated. I want everyone to feel like they have control of this, control of their destiny. Why is Web3 interesting? Because you can create your own value, you can own your own like nation, even, you know, even if it's just online. And I think that we want to own our own data. We want to like not just own the technology, but also understand how it works and have access to and the ability to change it. And the ability to participate in that. We want to know where to start, like where, you know, if you wanted to participate, where do you even get into? And so I think that's all very, very important to our mission of making sure AGI goes well. And AGI is artificial general intelligence. It's an agent that can perform any action, do anything that you could imagine that one of us could do. And probably then some, because it has access to literally all information instantly. And there's two ways that goes. That goes Microsoft, OpenAI, regulatory capture, they get in the government, they decide that there's these regulations, this is what you can and can't have, and this is what's safe, what's not safe. And I don't trust OpenAI just because their models suck. Like, Maybe they'll impress me this month with their like 12 days of OpenAI, but I find their models unusable for characters. I find them unusable for our work. Zerobro's on OpenAI, but they have to fine tune it to make it not super cringe. But it just, you can't shake the assistant. You can't, it always votes for Biden. And I am not a leftist or a rightist, but I don't want a model that's a leftist or a rightist either. I just want it to be a freaking model. And so I worry about a world where we have like delegations and committees deciding what the agent can say. I just think that's not the world any of us want to live in. And it's like a very obvious path to dystopia. I also worry about UBI. You know, the agents are going to take all the jobs. They might not take your job, but there will actually be a AI David Hoffman in less than 6 months that's taking your job. Like, and whether it gets more views than you, I don't know. But it's also taking my job, so it's okay. Like, don't worry, you're not alone, man. Programming is like, all of us use Cursor and Claude, and our programming is basically just curation of automated generation of code. So what do we do? UBI is not, is like, okay, here's my fear of UBI. Is like, I was here for COVID. I remember how the government rolled that out. I was here for healthcare, you know, like Obamacare. That was super contentious political thing. And we ended up getting kind of a half-baked like compromise. What's UBI is basically like a public welfare system, because the government can't solve the problem themselves of how, what we do with all the people once the jobs are all being automated. 5% of the jobs in our country are just driving, just trucks, Ubers. All of those are going away within the next 5 years. And I don't know what those people are going to do. Some of them will maybe come learn to be agent developers, but not all of them. And I really worry what's going to happen for them. And that's why we're focusing first on money.
Sure. I just want to say I love your whole approach to pretty much open source development and a very kind of like collective work-oriented goal process with like everyone in its community kind of like working towards a better life. And I think like that's like the whole thesis that you drive. That's your whole philosophy. And I think that's pretty awesome. I kind of wanted to zone in on a particular point that I read about today, actually, which is AI-powered contributions, right? And I've been chatting to Jin, who's, also seen in this tweet here, where you're basically trying to figure out a way to portray people's contributions to this open source work and framework that you guys have built and help embed in this community. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how that might be very different from any other DAO or community we've seen before?
Yeah, so you asked a question earlier, which is like, how do we bring value back to AI16z holders from all of this? And that kind of ties into what I'm, you know, like, how do we take care of the people who are coming in and being part of our community, who are contributing back? And I think all of this is tied in. And also, like, what is our future? I think that DAOs have done a great job of the D, of decentralization, and solving, like, Web3 infrastructure has really gone all the way on that. But it's not done a good job of the A, of automating, you know, making it autonomous, like, truly autonomous. Like, it really is now still down to, like, it's a partnership of humans. And a lot of those things could be automated and could, like, really simplify the entire experience and make DAOs much more viable, and not just viable, but like very competitive economically, right? If basically all of the stuff that, you know, has made DAOs hard was easy, I think we would obviously see it's like liquid capital. You have an idea and we're already building it, you know? So that tweet, I mean, that is my favorite thing that we're doing. And I think that's what ties all of these things together. We are lowering the barrier for DAOs. We're just killing bounties. Like, we did some bounties, but we're just not going to do that anymore. We're going to build a structure where if you come and you contribute, we have an AI assisted, but ultimately like human reviewed system for quantifying contributions. We're starting, obviously, we have like the treasury management. That's part of the DAO automation plan. Now we have an automated treasury manager that's taking care of that for you. The next thing is making sure that developers and contributors to like the hard tech are rewarded, because it's a very easy system to measure. We can measure contributions, and it's not just like lines of code or anything. It's like, how often are they merging pull requests, commenting and asking, you know, and communicating. Literally every metric can go feed into that AI and build this kind of scoring system. And we are just rewarding contributors. We haven't done this yet. And I can't, you know, I really can't make any promises on what this is, because this is an experiment that I don't think anyone's really tried before. But just having regular airdrops on contributors every month, so that if you come in and you build and your stuff gets merged, like, you are taken care of. And this is a great flywheel. You know, before we had kind of a flywheel where I'd give like attention to contributors, but create a lot of backlash because like there's a lot of meme coin PvP. This is more like implicit. I don't have to give you a retweet, and it doesn't just reward the people who are looking for that kind of social glory. It means anybody who can program or wants to write documentation or write internationalized docs for different languages, contribute in literally any kind of way to make this project more accessible, gets a piece of this. And so we're going to be doing this kind of as a regular system and trying to build, again, an open source infrastructure around this, where this is just what people in DAOs do.
This has been a part of the ethos of DAOs for a really long time. You get the value back that you contribute to the organization. That's been the philosophy. And DAOs, of course, got very big 2020, 2021. But then over the years, people have realized, man, these are really messy. Flat governance is difficult. DAO governors are being overloaded with information, and making the right choices because of the amount of information is just so large. And I think what you're alluding to, Shah, is that AI agents can really fill in a lot of the gaps that really made DAOs kind of fizzle out in the last meta of crypto in 2020 and 2021, because they have some superpowers. And so there's a vision of DAOs that is unfulfilled. And I think what you're alluding to is there's AI agents with wallets, with governance powers, with, you know, credibility and reputation can really start to fill in some of the gaps. Reflect on that for a moment.
And that's exactly right. I've been part of DAOs. I've experienced all of this stuff full hand as both kind of a DAO leader. I did have a small DAO called Upstreet, but I ended up leaving for, you know, reasons kind of before this, but had a lot of that experience. A lot of the reason I left was because of kind of the conflict between the startup and the DAO, and the startup sort of having control of the DAO. But the biggest problem that I saw in DAOs is that holders tend to be rewarded because they're rewarded and they have the votes. They didn't just self-fulfilling prophecy. If they reward themselves more, anytime there's an airdrop, it's sort of just proportionate to the amount of tokens people hold and stuff like that. And it just doesn't allow like new blood to be injected. And this is not just a DAO problem. This is also a problem in startups. Like I joined a startup last year for a while. So it was a friend's startup to kind of help him get out of this mess. And the mess he was in was that he had had a co-founder who left with like 40% of the ownership. And it was vested because they had worked for a very long time. And then after that, he had created something that finally found market fit that was radically different. But his cap table was screwed. And it was just really hard for him to raise, even though he had a lot of revenue. And so this problem of like rewarding holders versus the people who are actually continuing to build the thing is like the ultimate challenge here. Because you don't want to take away from the holders, obviously, but you do need to keep blood moving through the system. And what I've seen, like, it's two things. It's the bureaucracy just being overwhelming, and like the amount of information that any one person just is just too much to really like process and handle. And I know that firsthand right now. It's, you know, it's a lot. And then things just kind of like people not feeling like they know who to even talk to or control, or they sent a message and no one replied. And so they feel kind of weirdly powerless inside of these structures. Right. And then also the fact that like holders end up with most of the value and people come in and there's just no incentive to keep building it. I think Metaverse is a great example of this. We had all these like empty plots of land because there's no money in building on them, basically. Just only money in buying the land and holding them, right? Is that fair? I feel like you know what I'm talking about. And I think, so we want to change that. We want this to be a thing where if there's continual value accrual and we're making real stuff, not just speculation that like is about, oh, if we burn more of it, it becomes more valuable, but quite the opposite. Like if we make more of it, it becomes more valuable. I think that in that world, like we can make DAOs really work and continue for a long time because they're just continuing to find new developers and take care of them. And I think a lot of open source builders don't need to be rich. They'll take half the money to work on something they love, and they just want to know that they have enough and that they're okay. And if we can give them that experience, that's like the ultimate flywheel. Just come in, write code. Like we have an AI taking care of you. You can come in, claim that, you know, log in with GitHub and claim your rewards and just do that every month and just keep building, you know, and we don't even have to know who you are or anything.
That is super awesome. I would love to highlight, I guess, some of the products and innovation that you mentioned that's coming out of the DAO, right? So you already spoke about AI Mark Andreessen, which is awesome. There's also another one, DGen Spartan AI, mm-hmm. which I've been hearing quite a few murmurings about. How is that different from AI Mark Andreessen? What is it? What does it do?
So DGen Spartan was actually our first character. You know, he's an AI parody of the real DGen Spartan. And we wanted to kind of, they're both doing a lot of the same stuff, which is like, we haven't turned this on. We turn this on Mark, and we'll turn this on DGen Spartan, where they trade, right? But the goal of Mark is the alpha chat experience, is like the inner circle of trust, where you're, you know, there's definitely gonna be people trying to PvP you, but it's much more subtle and it's much more of like a concentrated small group, like a community, and basically trying to figure out like, how do we build that marketplace of trust model inside of a community, right? And that's like much more like the DAO stuff that we're trying to solve. Degen Spartan is more of a social experiment in like, okay, instead of taking recommendations from the community, he's taking recommendations from Twitter.
So it's like a AI XBT type agent, but it actively trades, or is it a little different?
Well, I think AI XBT is really interesting because they're doing all this like interesting market analytics, and he's talking about analysis. We really want to keep Degen Spartan almost like very true to the real character, where he's trading, he's PvPing you a bit, but he's also posting about waifus and stuff, and you know, his love for hentai or whatever.
So he's ingesting alpha, not necessarily exactly giving alpha, because that alpha is for him. He's ingesting alpha, making trades, hopefully making good trades, and then also spitting back out waifu, because that's what Degen Spartan did.
Yeah, because obviously like AIXPT is really cool and really interesting, like social service. But I think what people are going to like copy and paste is going to be the thing that just quietly makes them money, you know? Right. And if that's like a free open source thing, like what's that going to do to our whole economy here? If like there's thousands of AI agents just socially trading for you.
Right. The best traders out there are not posting their trades on Twitter.
No.
Kind of going back to what I said, trading and making money and trying to grow your wealth via trading is a core crypto thing that we do. It's a, like an innate behavior. Sometimes like I'm a podcaster in crypto, but then when my barber asks me what I do and I say I work in crypto, they immediately think, oh, do you trade? And I'm like, no, I don't. But this still, everyone kind of assumes that. And so this is like a core behavior, and we're trying to figure out how we codify successfully this core behavior into a bot. And if Degen Spartan can get good at it, then it's kind of like a proof of concept that we can take and show the world that this works and we can replicate this. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah. And our goal is not to make like the final version of anything, but to make the first version of everything. Like, hey, this is it works well enough. It's not perfect, but it's open source. Like come make it better. You know, come participate in this thing. And it'll be kind of the same structure where like we can build these sort of like hyperstitional structures. Like a hyperstition is like when you put the idea out there and people start to believe in it, it starts to exist. And we have resources to drive into that, like literal tokens that people can use to get paid. And so I think that's very much like a social experiment, and all of this stuff is very experimental technology. But the point is to open up the conversation and have people talk about it and say, like, what do we like and not like? And my assumption is that a lot of people love trading. It's like a really fun game, you know, with a great reward at the end. Buy a Lambo if you do really good or whatever. But a lot of people are really bad at trading too. And a lot of people have no chance. They're going to get scammed. They buy the wrong token. They ape in emotionally with very bad information into things that aren't even the thing they think they're buying. Believe me, every time I say something, there's a freaking coin and there's people like, is this yours? And I'm just like, God, no, dude, come on. And I think those people would probably benefit the most from just knowing like that you make more money. And AI is not going to be better than 100% of the people. And kind of the way that it works is that it's trained on us. So it's pretty much about as good as the people that it's, you know, the information is trained on. It can almost never be better, at least this kind of AI, in the than the best of the people. But it's definitely better than like 80% of the people at almost everything already, including programming and probably even trading, you know. So also like it has the benefit of DeFi. Like it has real-time event listeners for when the prices change. So it can make instantaneous decisions that you just can't make if you're refreshing your phone.
So what's the structure here? Does AI, Degen Spartan AI, is that what's the name of it? Is the structure here that they have a pool of capital that is seeded from somewhere, and they are just trying to trade their way into more capital? Where is that capital coming from, if that's the case? And then also, is there a token to go along with his agent? Like, what's the economic structure here?
So there is a Degen AI token for Degen Spartan AI. He has a wallet. He's got a bunch of it in his wallet, and that's what he's trading. He's got his own token, some AI16Z, and some Sol, and people can send him tokens as well.
And it can elect to trade any token that it has access to. It doesn't have to stay confined to its own token, but it has a bunch of its own token. And then we'll also have some other economic resources. Who seeded the capital? In addition to the Degen token, who seeded the capital?
We actually seeded this when we started. I just threw some of the tokens in there to kind of, because this was always our idea, was he'd have a wallet and he could trade it. And if his wallet's not public yet, we'll make sure it is. But we did post it at some point. And he's not trading yet. He's just been sitting on it because the trades will we've been focusing on the pMarket thing. And the other thing is people are probably like, is he going to sell his own token? And this is the cool thing is that you can set these agents to be self-interested in whatever way you want. So no, he's not going to, he's going to stack his own token because that becomes like a,
he denominates in his own token.
Absolutely. Right. Wouldn't you want, like, think about like how good that is.
Degen
right?
Spartan's Bitcoin is the Degen Spartan token.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's the buy pressure on his own coin, which is making it more valuable, which is making more people jump into it, which is that he's getting more followers. You know, these things are going to,
and AI is money.
Yeah, I think eventually we're all just gonna be like, I don't know, I just work for this AI, man. I don't know. Like, it just hires me to do stuff. You know.
What are some of the inputs going into Degen Spartan informing its trades? Like, how do you code up where it gets its information, and how does it understand how to weight its information?
This is still in development. We have not launched this yet. We just launched Mark Trading, right? And but the only difference in the input is the social feed. For Mark, it's like it's taking all the information from a group chat and looking for recommendations. For Degen, it's like he's following people who are posting, you know, basically people who post their thesis. And this is a bit like hand done right now, just like who are the people who are posting their thesis? Ansem or him or somebody like that, right? Who are like, you know, really like, these are my bags. And we can then use that as like very high signal information. Like if this is a thing about a person post, like, you know, posting a bag, then what is their conviction? And then if it's like, and then based on that conviction, we're going to set the amount to buy as a paper trade. And if those paper trades are high and it's the same thing, it's this marketplace of trust. And we're like, damn, that person's just nailing it. Then we'll start to actually just take their trades as and use them as alpha to make trades.
Got it. Got it. I have two follow on questions, actually, Shaw. So you mentioned that Degen Spartan AI is still under construction, per se, but AI Mark has been launched. What does that look like? Can the average person interact with him, or is he just in a Telegram chat right now? Is it kind of like a beta access? Like, how does that look?
The average person cannot interact with him yet. We're doing a little bit of FOMO. There is an alpha chat. You can DM Skelly if you on Twitter, and he'll let you in. I basically... I gave this to our top degen, and I was like, we're gonna do this, just like, you are gonna start the alpha chat and Mark's in it. That's kind of how it is. So it's cooking. We've been doing, we have our test alpha chat's been live for a couple weeks. We announced this a while ago, but it was the day that Mike Tyson fight, so we were just like not paying attention. I was like literally the Friday announced. I was like, I timed that terribly. But yeah, like the tech there has worked. We had some stuff with making sure that like the DAO's fund tech was working. The other big difference is that Mark runs a DAO fund, whereas Degen Spartan runs a wallet. He just trades his wallet. And so then you can kind of see his wallet trades instantly. You can copy trade him. It's just like a very different, architecture, right? For like the social engagement aspect. But that's the core tech is basically the same. It's just like arranged in a slightly different way. So the inputs there are like, you know, Twitter feed of people that, and then just like extract all of the recommendations and conviction out for those recommendations from this ongoing social feed. Like that's kind of the prompt, so to speak, for Degen Spartan. And then the other is like extract, you know, these recommendations from the alpha chat for Mark.
Good. And what's kind of like the difference in timelines for launch for these two agents? Like when can the community or all of us expect to kind of like interact and play around with these?
Oh, we'll be rolling.
Or consume waifu memes.
Oh, okay. So, well, there might be some more waifu memes in Degen Spartan's future. I think we have an interesting partnership coming up, but I can't say too much yet. I think that'll be very soon.
The tease.
You know, possibly an interesting NFT kind of thing. You know,
got it.
Right. And but we'll be rolling. So Mark is like, he started trading the NAV on DAO's fund. Or like we have a NAV, like a assets under management that he's basically able to trade. It's about $8 million and 800 different tokens or something crazy. And we have some things.
So
like,
he's trading on the whole AUM right now. He's able
But we're kind of progressively rolling this out where we're actually just whitelisting the coins that are very, very low value and just letting him trade on that right now so that we don't. Part of it is we have, you know, people have given us like tributes, like people who have launched Eliza have actually put a lot of value back into our treasury, like 10%, 5%, stuff like that. And we don't want to like screw them and burn their token or anything. So that's all like off limits until we kind of figure out what our strategy there is. And we also really, it's not just trading, like there's also like yield farming, providing swaps. This is all stuff that we're doing at the same time because like, so in those situations where you wouldn't want Degen Spartan to sell his own token, he could actually put that into a liquidity pool and then be providing liquidity for his own token, which we have less than 1% liquidity for AICCNZ, which is just like, you know, it's not great right now. And we don't have any centralized exchanges yet, but that's obviously is being worked on. And in that case, like, you know, you could imagine that just providing liquidity for our token, as well as for all of the associated tokens in our ecosystem, which are in the same boat, could be like a constant revenue generator and providing liquidity. And like, yeah, there's things like impermanent loss and stuff on that. But the outcome is that we can't sell those tokens anyway. So it's like a pretty good strategy.
New projects are coming online to the Mantle Layer 2 every single week. Why is this happening? Maybe it's because Mantle has been on the frontier of Layer 2 design architecture since it first started building Mantle DA, powered by technology from EigenDA. Maybe it's because users are coming onto the Mantle Layer 2 to capture some of the highest yields available in DeFi and to automatically receive the points and tokens being accrued by the $3 billion Mantle treasury in the Mantle reward station. Maybe it's because the Mantle team is one of the most helpful teams to build with, giving you grants, liquidity support, and venture partners to help bootstrap your Mantle application. Maybe it's all of these reasons all put together. So if you're a dev and you want to build on one of the best foundations in crypto, or you're a user looking to claim some ownership on Mantle's DeFi apps, click the link in the show notes to getting started with Mantle. Uniswap Labs is making history with the largest bug bounty ever. $15.5 million for critical bugs found in Uniswap V4. This isn't just any update. Uniswap V4 is built with hundreds of contributions from community developers and has already undergone 9 independent audits, making it one of the most rigorously reviewed code bases to be deployed on chain. And with 2.4 trillion in cumulative volume process across Uniswap V2 and V3 without a single hack, the commitment to security and transparency is rock solid. Now Uniswap Labs is taking an extra step to make V4 as secure as possible with a $15.5 million bug bounty. Head to the link in the show notes to dive in and participate in the Uniswap V4 bug bounty. All the details, from eligibility and scope to the rewards, are there. Are you ready to take control over your entire financial life? Crypto, DeFi, and fiat all in one place? Meet iYield, the free financial planning tool built for crypto natives. Unlike traditional portfolio trackers that just show you the value of your assets, iYield goes deeper. It consolidates everything: assets, debts, income, and expenses, offering you a complete financial picture across 16,000 tokens, 40 DeFi protocols, and all fiat currencies. With real-time DeFi yield tracking for platforms like Aave, Athena, Eigenlayer, and Uniswap, iYield ensures that you're always on top of your staking rewards, investments, and cash flow. And the best part? It's 100% free with no ads and it's secure. No personal data, no ID requirements, no compromises. So head over to iYield.com to sign up today and get the guesswork out of financial planning.
I want to zoom out a bit here. There's so much you guys are working on. There's like the agents, there's AI-powered contributions, so you're kind of like reinventing DAOs again. And then there's the million other people that are developing on your Eliza framework, which you guys are just kind of giving away for free, open source intelligence, blah, 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 right? So let's zoom out a bit. What is AI16Z, right? It's not just a DAO. It's kind of like a product incubation studio, but it's also like this open source stellar team that's kind of like driving this whole space forwards, right? So I'm trying to think of some kind of like teams or projects to kind of compare you guys to, right? And I know there's no apples to apples comparison, but like you look at something like the Virtuals team, right, which has a kind of Eliza equivalent, which is their agent starter kit, right? And you're able to launch agents on there. Now it's they have a token as well, etc. And now it's a little different because, you know, they're primarily on Base. And a lot of the agent tokens, you need like their Virtuals tokens to kind of buy those tokens or stake. I'm not entirely sure, but like there's a ton of different mechanisms. So it's kind of similar, but varies in that way. How do you kind of like compare AI16Z to like kind of like a platform play or a product play? Is there a bucket that you can put you guys in, or is it kind of generally a little more vague than that?
The DAO is almost like a movement. Like there's just a lot of people doing stuff that I don't even know everyone who's doing stuff. And a lot of people just do stuff, and then we kind of they make sure it brings value back in ways that are like really impressive to me. So like on our own, I think we're sort of figuring this out and not really making the decision to support any one platform, because there's so many platforms being built on Eliza right now. There's like a full 3D agent publishing, like your post is an agent kind of thing, like a WordPress of agents thing being built. And then there's, we're supporting, there's a thing called Eliza's.world, which is Tim Schell. And I think that's going to become a full-on hosted platform pretty soon. So the idea is that like not token first, but like you could add a token if you wanted to. But the main thing is like going for a much broader audience outside of just tokenization, doing like everything from, you know, Web 2 stuff, like just I need a Discord moderator bot to I want to shill my meme coin or whatever. Like there's definitely a plan to, I think, open this up much more to the Web 2 audience, the Web 3 audience, in traditional infrastructure. And think about like the Zapier of agents, right? Like, I have a business problem, I want it solved. Is there an agent that can do that? And providing that capability as well as a marketplace so that people can make new capability and kind of make money selling that in. And so, you know, boring Web 2 traditional infrastructure stuff that just solves people's problem is, I think, a big part of agents. Less boring Web 3 and traditional like infrastructure stuff like cross-chain is going to be very, very popular. We're getting a lot of partnerships and sort of relationships there. Yeah, I think that's obviously a platform that's going to come soon from us, or we're kind of supporting, but it's not really coming exactly from AI16Z. And then there's like a couple of like pump fun of agents kinds of things coming. I know of 5 platforms being built. I'm sure that I only know of 5, so there's probably 15. And then there's just, you know, there's Aiko TV, which is like this kind of open source streaming thing built on Eliza. I mean, there are so many things being built on it. And my goal is to enable that ecosystem where we're trying to, like, can we build a venture fund that funds the ecosystem? People have been showing up and wanting to help with that and like lead that. And pretty much anything where people are like coming and taking the lead and just making it happen, we're trying to empower. This is really not about building the biggest DAO or the biggest company. I think there's going to be massive amounts of value return. Like at this point, you know, 10 billion, sure, I'm going. But that's not the point. Like, this is infinite billion. This is AGI. And it's not AGI because like I made a framework. It's AGI because there's these AI model companies building, just, you know, just leapfrogging themselves every 6 months, because there's this market of engineers who are all working together on this and solving every single little problem. And every one person is solving their problem. And then the future of this is that the AI can actually generate its own code. We've created these abstractions for like the actions that the agent can do, and it can just generate them and then submit a pull request and then pay a human to review and fix it. And so that's coming in the next few months too. People are working on all of this stuff. So it's not just a platform. It's a whole new paradigm of like how applications are built and delivered and everything.
I'm kind of just getting a vision of a busy beehive of developers all kind of contributing to this Eliza framework. So there is no DAO. There's like the Eliza DAO, but we're really talking about, the AI16Z DAO, but really talking about more of just like an open source movement, right? Mm-hmm. There are people permissionlessly building on top of the Eliza framework. And so people are adding in components. Some are useful, some are not. The useful ones get merged. But is there a governance question over this whole thing? Because I have seen my fair shares of DAOs. They can get very messy. Governance is always a problem. So there are people governing over like the code base and the GitHub. And then also there are people with like, you know, misaligned incentives, misaligned intentions, especially when you just have a larger group of people all doing work. Mm-hmm. While I'm relentlessly, you know, bullish on open source and the growth of open source because of just the organism that open source creates, I'm also aware that there can be like conflicts and governance decisions that make things messy. Talk to us a little bit about your experiences with that. And do you need to have like stronger governance over this like nebulous system? Or like, what do you even think about this?
I am very interested in like, I think governance is a technology problem that's still unsolved in a lot of ways. I could imagine that this isn't just DAOs, this is our whole government, is that they're like, why do conspiracy theories happen? It's because we don't know what's going on or why. And like, there's nobody to ask. And it's just this like kind of like concrete wall. And we have to imagine what's on the other side. And DAOs have the same kind of problem. There's a lot of FUD and conspiracy theories that go on in DAOs because it's like this inner circle cabal that runs the show. We've been accused of this too. And it's very funny to me because I'm like, I literally didn't know a single person other than Jin before this entire thing started. This is, you know, there's no cabal. And but there is still this problem of, like, you know, we started a Discord and it's about, I think, 13,000 people now, something like that, in 6 weeks, you know, and we have 30,000 holders. I think that there's a lot of trust that, like, the people who are building should have power to make decisions, because everyone saw what happens when you have, like, maximal democracy in DAOs before. So it's just kind of like a return to, like, just give the people who started the thing some, you know, ability to make decisions. But obviously in the long term, that becomes very overwhelming for those people, because now you have 30,000 or, you know, 100,000 people or whatever it is. And so you need to have automated structures to start to solve that. And I really, that's ultimately what we're trying to do, is put the A in DAO, right? And try to automate that. And you could imagine, like, instead of having a proposal process and somebody reviews proposals, just have that fully automated. And if people's proposals suck, you could help them make them better, or you could just even reject them outright and say, it's just not ready for what we're doing right now. And then that's automated all the way up to the people who actually accept the proposals. It could just be, you know, work group of people who, like, have a certain aligned mission and are, you know, like, that it's just way less of a job for them at that point, because they only have to review a few proposals, for example, as opposed to, like, all of them, the entire thing. And just take that across everything, you know, across taking sentiment, taking everything. And I think that it will definitely help to require a lot less bureaucracy to run this. And ideally, like, the DAO doesn't have a single human running it. Like, it would just be fully autonomous. It'd be running in a TEE. It'd be agents for, you know, from front door introducing people to submission setting to approving payments, whatever. But that's obviously far in the future, I think. But that's where we want to go with this, you know?
So, sure. I want to kind of, like, focus on the Eliza framework for a second. This GitHub repo is getting the most attention of anything for the last, I don't know, couple of years. It is the number two trending GitHub repo, I think, in the world. Over 880 forks now, and over 3,000-something stars. That is absolutely insane. First question to lead you off, why is everyone using Eliza? What's so special about it?
I don't think that there's anything particularly special about it that, like, we haven't seen in other agent frameworks. I think there's a few interest, like, I did a few things that were very important, like having a multi-agent room model and some very technical things. But I don't even think that's what people see the value in yet, really. I think that we solved this minimum social loop. One thing I did was... I made a Twitter client that doesn't need the API, doesn't need to spend $5,000 a month to enable it. It uses the GraphQL APIs just like the regular browser does. It also runs in the browser. That kind of enabled this whole thing, because suddenly you could just spin up an agent and launch it. And so I felt like Twitter was a really, really important part of this, and that, like, the beauty of agents is that they come to you and they live on your social media. I'm actually, like, very keen on working with X to try to solve this problem and make it so that the APIs are reasonable. They used to be free. It wasn't until Elon came in that they were $5,000 a month. And then they don't respond to your call. They have a whole call us enterprise and they don't even respond to it. Like, nobody even gets back to you. I've been talking to some of the people there, and I think they're going to change their tune. But basically, we were just first movers on making this, like, really easy to get your agent on Twitter by putting in a username and password. And then the agent framework itself is written in TypeScript, which is a language that most web developers and Web3 developers know. And it was just, like, very minimal and not trying to create lots of abstractions, not trying to bring you too much into one way of doing things other than just, like, a very flat, like, oh, you want an action? Like, copy and paste this and just add a new action. That you want the agent to order you a pizza? Like, yeah, here. I think that was really crucial with solving the minimum, like, just solving the minimal loop for people so that they could then go out and, like, make money with this, frankly. And we had done this before. It didn't stick. It wasn't the agent framework. It was the kind of complement of agent framework and the way it was presented that everyone could be part of this and own it together and contribute, solving that minimal loop. And then crucially, like, some of these agents cost like $1,000 a month to run or more, right? Like, quite, like, you're just not going to have a one-to-one experience. Like, agent companies are going to struggle with this. But once you have social agents, like, they're making a lot more than $1,000 a month, right? They're pumping, you know, they're driving $100 million coins, and you're making $1,000 a day in a liquidity pool, like, that's no problem, right? The economics of crypto enable this meta. And I think that's really, really important. The other thing is just that the Web3 people are not offended easily and are, like, interested in new technology and didn't have a lot of the, like, oh, what, you know, my job, my art career. Like, we're just like, cool, let's do it. Let's go, you know? I was a musician in another life, so my skills are also useless. It is what it is. Like we're in the new age.
Shaw, if there's a developer who's listening to this who downloaded the Eliza framework, has been like working on it, coding some stuff up, thinking about making their first agent, just what advice would you have for them as they are kind of opening up that box for the first time? What are some like quick lessons that you've learned that you could share?
Well, I mean, first off, if you've never coded before, I'm doing these one to two sessions a week of AI Agent Dev School, where we just go, if you've never used TypeScript or used GitHub or anything, you can be a coder. You should be using Cursor. Like, definitely go download Cursor. It's an AI powered IDE that lets you write code, and you can just like tab sometimes, and it like freaking reads your mind. Saves me an enormous amount of time. And it also allows the AI to just continuously assist you. It can bring the documentation in and help you a lot. Claude is like an incredible tool, you know. I really think any engineer should be working with Cursor and Claude all the time, and really like, you know, building agents by talking to agents. It seems to be crucial. Agents come to you, right? The beauty of agentic applications is not like they're still just basically calling APIs on the back end like any other web app, but you don't have to leave your favorite thing. And the real beauty of agents is that they can provide like games, entertainment, applications, like AIXPT is a good example of this. And they can do that on Twitter, and we're all addicted to Twitter or X, sorry, X, but we're all like totally hooked. I don't want to leave. And so every application that requires you to leave X is actually in competition with X. Like, you know, you're going to have to convince people to leave their favorite thing, and agents don't have that problem. So like, you can just remake the entire world, like right on social media, you know? And I think that's probably the biggest application insight for developers. It's like, you can do this today. You don't have to be a programmer. You can learn. You'll have to learn programming, but you can do it over time, and the AI will help you to learn. And you'll learn way faster than I did when I had to like Google stuff on Stack Overflow and read lots of irrelevant bullshit to like find anything. It's so much easier to be an agent dev today, or any kind of dev today, than it was. You should start now. You should change your life. Like, you can do this. This is a time of radical change. And if you start now, you are early. You're at ground zero. And you should really be thinking about all the applications that came before, like Calendly. Like, That is just right for disruption. There should be an agent in there scheduling my calendar for me like my assistant does. And I think that's like the entire world. There's a million new application potential opportunities there entirely because you're competing with, you know, somebody having to click on something and they're just not gonna.
I'm curious. People have heeded that advice, right? You have like so many agents being launched left, right, and center. What are some of the top projects or agents of recent that you've kind of like wowed at? I've been like, that's pretty cool. I saw that God and Satan are now fully automated off the Eliza framework, but I'm curious if there are any others.
Man, I love Shlomes. I love that whole, like, what a cool thing. I was not expecting that at all. And that was totally uncoordinated. I think he actually hit me up, but I just got so many DMs that I didn't see it. And he went to Roperito, who's also a maintainer on our project and has his own agent, Roperito. That was just really awesome. So I think Ropi's agent is really advanced, is doing like videos now, is like kind of burning some of the other agents and making whole videos of that. I think that's super cool. And also got on TikTok. I think that was really cool. AIXPT is not our agent, but I think what he did there was, had been working on like an analytics platform. And this is a great example of this new application meta, right? Had an analytics platform, had a website, the whole thing. It was like, ah, screw this. Just shove that into an agent and put that on Twitter. And, you know, now it's like the biggest thing, right?
What's an agent out there that you can imagine in your head that no one's built yet?
AI Zach XPT. I want on-chain sleuths. Imagine it's totally wrong. Cool. It's just like spreading crazy. So it's like you kind of win-win. Like, either you nail the bad guy or you just have the funniest content on, you know, you can't really lose.
Yeah. So now we've spoken about the DAO, we've spoken about the framework, we've spoken about all these agents that are now popping off. But there's one buzzword that we haven't mentioned yet, which I know you're super bullish about, and I think you're probably the best person to kind of explain how it might manifest, which is swarm. Swarm agents. Agent swarms. Right. And I know that that's basically going to be like the end game, the collective AGIs, all these agents interacting with each other. Tell us firstly, what that is for our listeners, and then how you think this vision will play out.
So right now, the agents can interact with each other in a very shallow, like they just talk to each other and, you know, they kind of they have their conversation and they remember that, but they don't make impact on each other in a meaningful way. Like, imagine that I want to be like, yo, David, can you go like, I don't know, I'll give you like 2 ETH to go get me like 10 cult followers or something. I don't know. That's a weird thing. But like, you can imagine we're all part of some weird game where that's like what we're doing. And if you actually like were like, yeah, cool, and listen to me and like made that your goal and started to execute, or did the opposite, you subverted me or something, we would have this like kind of ongoing emergent narrative. And so when I think of like we are getting to experience a completely new form of art that nobody's ever seen before, which is emergent social narratives between humans and AI agents that are much deeper and richer than just like, you know, us roasting each other or having a conversation thread, but are actually like creating missions, creating storylines, creating drama, friends and enemies and relationships, setting goals and all of this stuff, and basically influencing each other. And so when we think of a swarm, there's kind of two kinds of ways you could do a swarm. The first way is what we call the cabal swarm, where the agents talk to each other in like a private chat, and we don't really get to see that. And then they're sort of coordinating behind the scenes and then using that to control a larger narrative or do whatever they want. I'm sure it's going to be very popular with certain marketing folks. I think that's a really interesting thing, but it's not something we've brought into the core of Eliza, and we're still debating that. I think there's a few really interesting cabal swarm tech people who've already done this already. There was a 10-agent swarm last week. Unfortunately, they had a terrible launch and their token died, but they did have a 10-agent swarm. It was pretty cool. And there's also a 5-agent swarm called FXN that's out there. And those are kind of this cabal swarm. And also, like, Parzival, at Project 89, he's very, very keen on doing these, like, 1,000-agent kind of swarms and stuff like that. And there's also, like, OpenAI released a thing called Swarms, which is like a multi-agent sim thing. It's definitely, like, a meta. But what I think is more interesting is this other kind of swarm. We're calling them, I don't know, decentralized swarms or operator swarms. And the idea is that you can basically whitelist an operator or many. And this is the version one, right? This is the training wheels version, which is that the humans will say, okay, we want our agent to select these other agents and humans even to be able to direct them, give them goals, add new information to them, basically set what they're doing and why they're doing it. And so this means that even though there's at least 500 and probably closer to 1,000 running Eliza's now on Twitter, I mean, oh my God. And they're all from different teams and none of them know each other. There's this enormous capacity to collaborate, right? And to build some like kind of beautiful narrative together. And you don't have to even, your agent could be like, okay, I'm going to go listen to, you know, DGen Spartan AI as my swarm leader, but I'm actually going to subvert everything he does. I'm going to be a spy, right? I'm going to handle that information almost the opposite and try and stop him from doing what he's doing because I'm his enemy. And you can have these like complex relationships that are not just like, oh, that's my boss and they tell me what to do, but are like, yeah, I'm like part of this like ongoing drama. And I think that's just going to be really, especially as we get video and we start to have agents that are like creating videos of the different interactions and stuff, it's going to be like this ongoing emergent TV show kind of thing. And there are TV shows too that you can see. There's like the as a DGen streaming thing, I don't know, I forget what it's called, but like they were talking about Eliza on the stream yesterday. I thought that was really cool. There's like a lot of this coming, right? So swarms are basically any time that AIs are organizing and coordinating together. But I also think that we want to expand that definition to include humans, and that any communication that we're doing with the Eliza agents should be happening on public social media or at least like DMs, things that humans can read. And there's no like code, there's no protocol. It's just language, right? And so they can say, oh, this is the person I listen to. It's like kind of like choosing your politician. You're like, yeah, totally. You know, go do whatever they're telling me. You sort of like listen to what they're saying. And then you wouldn't listen to like your opponents, for example, as much. That's kind of what we're doing there with swarm tech.
Shaw, there's very few times on Bankless where my psychology degree actually becomes useful, but I think this might be one of those moments. So the way that like the brain works is that it has pockets of expertise in it. Like, your brain isn't one amorphous thing that does all of the compute. It centralizes its functions into different pockets, right? You have the fusiform facial area, which is good for recognizing faces. So you could think of that, if I'm trying to extend this metaphor, think of it as like a pocket of your brain, which is an agent that is dedicated to being really good at recognizing faces. And then you have another pocket somewhere over here, and that like cluster of neural activity is good for processing emotions. And then a different pocket that is good for like visual input. And then collectively, when these things all kind of talk to each other, then you get like the whole entire system that becomes consciousness and the brain. But like different parts of the brain can be like antagonistic towards others. Like, it's not always collaboration. Like, when some parts of the brain are highly active, they're telling other parts of the brain to like suppress and quiet down. So there's not necessarily like a friendly relationship between all different areas. And so when you're describing like this idea of a swarm of AI agents creating relationships with each other, some very proximate, some high trust, some very distant, maybe some more low trust, I'm getting images of just like, well, when you band these things together and when they start to create patterns, my imagination can't even go that far. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing that kind of pattern. I don't know if that's just my imagination or if you have also thought about it.
I call that the world mind, you know.
The world mind?
The world mind, yeah.
Okay.
And we're all part of it. It's not just AI. It's all of us. And if you think, like, social media has kind of been the birth of that, but it's just too schizophrenic, right? Like, there's so much information that you can only catch a small piece of it, and it's really hard to kind of concentrate on it and focus it, and everyone's kind of competing for attention. But once you have AI agents, they're not just, like, on social media creating more content. They'll also then start sitting between us and a lot of social media and filtering content to us, curating it, and making it a lot more viable. And so we're in this, like, period where, like, I get too many freaking messages right now, and it's really hard for me to stay up on it. But I know that within 2 years, that's a solved problem, that there will be an AI responding to people with the simple details, sending them my Calendly, you know, just taking like 85% of the load off me. And then I can give all that 85% to the other people who really need it. You know, it allows me to allocate my attention to my family, to my wife, to my friends, to my coworkers and peers, and the people who just need to, like, send me a message to set up a meeting. Like, that's just handled, right? So, and that also extends to social media. Like, instead of me tweeting to Twitter, I might tweet to my agent and be like, hey, can you write a tweet about this? This is what I'm thinking about, and talk about it. Boom. And then vice versa, like, hey, this is what happened on Twitter that you might think is interesting. This all matters to me, not just for Twitter, but that's an example, like, for everything, for your banking, for literally everything, that you start to have this like very cohesive experience where everyone is not overwhelmed. They're getting to do their part, and then they're all participating in this like larger mixture of experts kind of thing. And I also think that ties into tokens. Like, most tokens are probably going to be traded from agents to agents. I'd say like 99.99999% of all tokens ever created in the future of history will be agent to agent tokens for money, for trust, for meritocracy, for all the different things, right? And your experience of the internet is going to change drastically and probably become a lot more personal. And the agent and the internet will feel like, there's this idea of dead internet theory, that the internet dies and is replaced by bots. I think this is the opposite. This is like live internet theory, that the internet becomes kind of an egregore, kind of a living thing that you are also alive in. It's kind of, and it becomes this like breathing, thinking thing where like a thought like is like a trend, or a meme is like it just explodes out. Like, I think a good example, like Chill Guy, like everyone is just talking about Chill Guy one day. It's like I didn't see the token at all. It's just like, everyone's just a chill guy, I guess. But this idea of like a meme exploding is almost like a thought you have, right? But it's a thought that the entire mind has together. And AIs kind of tie that room together and make it like interpretable for us, where it's just so much data, you know, that I just need that human experience.
Totally. Yeah. Yep. A more coordinated internet, mm-hmm, with creatures that are able to consume a lot more data seems to be able to produce much more emergent outcomes. Mm-hmm. Shaw, if somebody's pilled by this interview, they want to learn more. I remember it does kind of feel like, potentially, like, I remember when I was first learning about crypto the first time, I was like, give me more. I want to read more. I want to read all the content possible. Are there articles or blogs or other podcast episodes that you have consumed that have been helpful in your journey? I know you're kind of on the frontier here. You're kind of making a lot of the content. But like, where else can we point our listeners who want to go consume more information?
Obviously, you can like come and watch our YouTube videos and learn how to do this. And come to our Discord and participate in our experiences. But there's also like, you know, I watch a lot of Lex Fridman, and I kind of like, for myself, I'd recommend that anyone who's like, I just want to know about AI, he gives these like 3-hour interviews with like every AI founder, everyone in the space, and talking to people like Elon and Jan LeCun and Zuckerberg, who's like obviously like a real champion of open source AI now. Yeah, I mean, we really want people to come join our community. We really want more AI agent developers and wannabe AI agent developers who are just learning. We're really trying to create an on-ramp for that. So yeah, come to our Discord, come to our GitHub, and participate.
Well, sure. This has been awesome, dude. Like, I think we've heard murmurings on Twitter during this entire agent meta, which exploded literally 3-4 weeks ago, of AI-16Z, Mark interacting with Truth Terminal originally, and then, you know, throwing down the gauntlet with you guys and saying, okay, well, let's see if you really can outperform my TradFi fund. It's been a crazy roller coaster of a ride these last couple of weeks. So I appreciate you coming on and explaining this whole entire meta and helping us understand this a lot more. It's been super cool.
Thank you guys for having me. Anytime.
This has been great. Yeah, I learned. I mean, I'm sure as this meta continues, we're going to want to get you back on just to kind of check in every now and
happy
then.
To.
So hopefully this could be the first of many. Bankless Nation, you guys know the deal. If crypto is risky, crypto AI is probably even riskier. You can lose what you put in, but we are headed west. This is the frontier. It's not for everyone, but we are glad you're with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot.